Excited, b'siyata d'shmaya. This Shabbos is the fourth parak of Pirkei Avos, and I want to look at a Mishnah at the very beginning of the fourth parak. The statement of Ben Azai. Ben Azai Omer haveiratz l'mitzvah kala uboreach min ha'avera. Ben Azai teaches us in Parak Dalet of Pirkei Avos, a person should run to a mitzvah kala. You should run to perform an easy mitzvah. Uboreach min ha'avera, and you should run away from an avera. Shemitzvah goreres mitzvah, va'avera goreres avera, because one mitzvah leads to the next, and one avera also, unfortunately, leads to the next. Sheschar mitzvah mitzvah, uschar avera avera. The reward for a mitzvah is a mitzvah, and the reward, or so to speak, the response to an avera is an avera. We know that when you learn Pirkei Avos especially, we see many times that the tzaddikim who taught us these statements are the very embodiment of those statements. So if it's Ben Azai who teaches us haveiratz l'mitzvah kala, and it's Ben Azai who teaches us shemitzvah goreres mitzvah, I want to begin just by exploring the life of Ben Azai. Again, what do I mean that the tzaddikim in Pirkei Avos, maybe even more so than throughout Shas, although it's true every time a great tzaddik, a great Tana or a Mora speaks, but even more so in Pirkei Avos, when the tzaddikim speak to us, they're speaking from a very, very deep place. You go back to the beginning of Pirkei Avos, Hu Haya Omer. Hu Haya Omer, and the Rebbe Rayatz of Lubavitch explained, Hu Haya Omer means, like we say in the Haggadah Shal Pesach, Chacham Mahu Omer. The Chacham, in accordance with what he says, that's who he is. Whereas the Sefer Hari B'Samim explains, Hu Haya Omer. He became it, and only then, Omer, did he have the courage to say it, to tell it to others. So when you study Pirkei Avos, it's important to sometimes think, why was Ben Azai the one who taught us this teaching? Who was Ben Azai? Ben Azai, Shimon Ben Azai was his full name, a contemporary of Rabbi Akiva, Shimon Ben Azai, Shimon Ben Zoma, dear friends. Chazal tell us that he was a student of Rabbi Yeshua, again, a Talmud Chaver of Rabbi Akiva, a friend and a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva. And he's called Ben Azai, that's not true. Sometimes he's called Rabbi Shimon Ben Azai, but for the most part, he's not given the title Rabbi. He's just called either Ben Azai, by his father's name, or Shimon Ben Azai, because he never formally received smicha. He actually passed away tragically very young, as we'll see in a few minutes, but he was a tremendous tzaddik and a tremendous Talmud Chacham, again, a contemporary of Rabbi Akiva. Such a big masmid was Shimon ben Azai that when he passed away, the Mishnah in Sota says, Mishameis ben Azai, Botlu Hashakdonim. When Ben Azai passed away, it was the end of those people who were shakud, who were totally immersed in Torah, who were meshugana about Torah. They loved Torah. He was a masmid, he was a person who loved mitzvos, and the end of his life was a very, very tragic one. I'm sure many of us are familiar with the story in Maseches Chagiga, of the arba, of the four who were nichnasu bapardes, four who entered the orchard. Rashi says they used Kabbalistic knowledge to ascend to higher realms. And in the higher realms, it's a dangerous place. It's a holy place, but it was a spiritually dangerous place. And the four were Ben Azai, Ben Zoma, Acher, also known as Elisha ben Avuya, and Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva warned his three colleagues, in the Olam HaEmes, you better be very, very careful what you say. You're going to see things in the higher realms, and you're going to think that it reminds you of something from the physical world, but don't say, for example, Rabbi Akiva said, when you see the Avnei Shayish Tahor, whatever that means, when you see the pure marble, which looks like waves, looks like water, don't say Mayim, Mayim, because it's not true, it's not water. And in the world of truth, you can't speak falsehood. Rabbi Akiva warned his colleagues, and of course, the end of the story was Rabbi Akiva was the only one who came out unscathed from that experience. Ben Zoma lost his mind, Elisha ben Avuya went off the derech, Rabbi Akiva survived. Ben Azai, the Gemara says, hitzitz v'meis. Hitzitz, he glanced, Rashi says, towards the Shechina. He couldn't resist the temptation to look at the Shechina, whatever that even means, and he died suddenly, he never came back. And he died young, again, without smicha. And this is the life of Shimon ben Azai, the great masmid that he was, the great tzaddik that he was. Why does this Mishnah that Rabbi Shimon ben Azai left us as his mesorah, as his statement in Pirkei Avos? Right? Why dafka haveiratz l'mitzvah kala boreach min avera? What does it mean, and how does it connect to the very essence of who he was? So I want to begin, again, not really related to the topic we're going to speak about tonight, but just a very, very sweet shtickel Torah that should put a smile on your face. It comes from a sefer called Yehuda Lekadsho, which is a biographical work of Rav Leib Eger. And the following question is asked about Ben Azai, and it'll help us to understand perhaps Ben Azai's statement in this Mishnah. Ben Azai has a shita, for those who are learning Daf Yomi, maybe you remember from early on in Masechet Shabbos, Ben Azai has a shita that mahalech ka'ome dami, that when a person is walking, as you take a step, each step is as if you stop, and it's as if you started again. So when you're mahalech, it's ka'omed, it's as if you're standing. Every step is as if you're stopping and going and stopping and going and stopping and going. Now we know when it comes to carrying on Shabbos, again, we don't think about it, many of us, because we live where we're blessed to have an Erev, but when it comes to the topic of Hotzah, which is the first topic of Mesechah Shabbos and all of Mesechah's Erevin, right, there's a prohibition we know from going from one Rishus to another Rishus. So I can't carry something from my house into the street on Shabbos if there's no Erev. Additionally, a person's not allowed to be ma'avir dalid amos rishos harabim. I can't move something for amos in rishos harabim because even within rishos harabim, if I move a significant distance, that's ki'ilu, it's as if I moved from one domain to another domain. So the Talmud Yerushalmi asks the following question on Ben Azai, and Tosfos quotes this in Shabbos Daf Hei Amud Beis. According to Ben Azai, that every time you take a step, it's as if you're stopping and starting and stopping and starting. So according to Ben Azai, how could a person ever be ma'avir dalet amos b'rishos harabim? How could I ever be in violation of transporting something for amos in rishos harabim? I walk for amos in a single act. Yerushalmi answers a very interesting answer. The Yerushalmi says, well, if you're an Olympic law, it says mishkachas lo bekofetz. If a person leaps for amos in a single step, so such a person would be in violation, even according to Ben Azai. Rabbi Akiva Eger, the great Gaon Rabbi Akiva Eger, in his Sefer Drush V'Chiddush, in the first volume, on Daf Chav Vav and Aleph, he says in the name of Chacham Echad, now we know who the Chacham Echad is from other sources, it was his Hasidish grandson of Leib Eger, who as a young boy answered his grandfather's question. Rabbi Akiva Eger shares the following conversation that he had with Chacham Echad, which again we know is his own grandson, Rav Leib Eger. The Gemara tells us that why is it that we don't blow shofar on Shabbos? The Gemara says, Shema Yavi Rana Dalet Amos Pershus Rabin. Maybe you'll take your shofar and you'll walk for Amos in the middle of the street. And why don't we take a lulav on Shabbos? Again, the concern is, Shema Yavi Renu Dalet Amos Pershus Rabin. Maybe you'll take your lulav for Amos through the street. So Rabbi Akiva Eger wondered, why would we give up lulav, shofar on Shabbos? Again, according to Ben Azai, the only time that a person would be in violation of going for amos and rishos harabim is if he did it in a single jump. And what are the chances that a person would actually do that? So we're going to make a gezerah not to blow the shofar on Shabbos. We're going to give up such a schus as blowing shofar on Shabbos. We're going to give up shaking a lulav because of what? Because of the unusual possibility of a person jumping four amos in one step? According to Ben Azai, why don't we blow a shofar on Shabbos? And Rav Leib Eger, and you can see how Rav Leib Eger forged his own path and became a chassid, you can see from his own love of mitzvos. Rav Leib Eger said, when a Jew is on his way to blow a shofar, there's nothing unusual, there's nothing far-fetched about him jumping four amos in a single leap. When a Jew is carrying, he's on his way to shul with his lulav and esrog because he's excited to say halal, he should literally be leaping, skipping, running down the street. And the tzaddikim bring proof to this idea from a Rashi in Parshas Bo. On the words, Pesach hu la Hashem, we know that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was making us his people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was jumping, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was leaping. The carbon is called Pesach, says Rashi in Shemos Perek Yud Beis, because of the dilug and the psicha. Sha'akadosh Baruch Hu medaleg bote Yisrael mibein bote Mitzrayim v'kofez mi mitzri lemitzri. Hashem was jumping from one mitzri home to another, passing over Yisrael in the middle. And says Rashi, va'atem osu kol avodosav l'shem shamayim. Similarly, when we prepare the Karban Pesach, we should do it l'shem shamayim, derech dilug ukfitza. The Pasha Pshat is the Karban Pesach is also, we eat it hastily, right? Like a person who's rushing, like a person who's running. But it's part of our excitement for mitzvos. And therefore the Karban Pesach, which is that first mitzvah that sort of made us into a people, the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself modeled it for us, jumping and leaping, Right? Says Rav Leibel Eger as a young boy to his halakha grandfather, Rabbi Akiva Eger, there's nothing far-fetched, even according to Ben Azai. There's nothing far-fetched about a person going Dalet Amos in a single leap. Because when you're on your way to a mitzvah, you should be that excited about a mitzvah. Says the Pnei Menachem, the sixth Ge'er Rebbe, now we understand the Mishnah on Pirkei Avos that we began with tonight. Ben Azai is Lishitaso. Ben Azai is the one who tells us in Pirkei Avos that when a Jew is on his way to a mitzvah, we don't walk to a mitzvah. We don't go to perform a mitzvah. Have a rutz l'mitzvah kala. That even the smallest mitzvah, a Jew has to be running down the street. Has to be jumping, has to be leaping. That's the same Ben Azai who Lishitaso, again, Ben Azai says, you can't take a shofar on Shabbos because maybe you'll be leaping down the street. This was the world of Ben Azai. A person who loved mitzvos, a person who was a tremendous masmid, and again, a tzaddik who we lost at an age that was all too young, according to that painful Gemara in Maseches Chagiga. But now let's come back to the Pashup Shah. Ben Azai Omer Havi Rotz L'mitzvah Kala U'boreach Men Aveira Shemitzvah Goreres Mitzvah Ve'Aveira Goreres Aveira. Let's learn Pashup Shah again, like we did the last couple of weeks, from the Teferis Yisrael, Rav Yisrael Lifshitz, the great German 19th century Rav. His commentary on the Mishnayos, Teferis Yisrael, is what made him particularly famous. And he writes as follows. Ben Azai Omer Havi Rotz L'mitzvah Kala. What does it mean to run to a small mitzvah? What is it? What are we calling a mitzvah kala, an easy mitzvah? Ratzalomer Shekala L'kaima. A mitzvah that's easy to do. Lefichach Eincha Misyarei Mishtamid Miyadcha. You're not worried that the mitzvah is going to disappear. It's an easy mitzvah. It's always available. It's not a unique opportunity. It's not Birchas Achama once in every 28 years. It's a mitzvah that's, you know, it's always around. Right? So you might say, okay, if not today, I'll do it tomorrow. Says Ben Azai, no, that's a terrible attitude. Even a mitzvah kala, even an easy mitzvah, even a mitzvah that you're not worried is going to slip out of your hands. Afilu hachi torutz l'kaima bezrizus v'simcha. You should be the type of Jew who loves mitzvahs, who runs with excitement, with anticipation to do a mitzvah. Uvoreach min ha'aveira. And just like I run after the easiest, simplest, most common mitzvah, boreach min ha'aveira, I should run from every aveira. Af she'ein yitzvacha doicha o roidvacha. Even if it's not something which you know is particularly damaging to you. But if you appreciate what a small mitzvah is, what a small aveira is, right? You run after those mitzvahs and you flee, boreach, you flee far away from an aveira. Shem mitzvah goreres mitzvah. Mitzvah goreres mitzvah means k'shetisragel nafshecha liozariz b'mitzvah Hashem. When you train yourself by becoming a person who's always chasing every mitzvah, not only looking for the big, unique, special opportunities, but you show Hashem that I love every opportunity that you grant me. So if you train yourself with the small mitzvahs, you become a person who jumps at every opportunity. So when a difficult mitzvah, when a hard mitzvah to do, an expensive mitzvah comes your way, you'll be well trained and you'll have the strength. You'll have built up that, so to speak, that spiritual muscle to be able to do even a difficult mitzvah. And lastly, aveira goreres aveira, dekachu darcho shel yetzahara. Bitchila mefateu lakalos, this is the way of the yetzahara. He first seduces a person to do a small aveira, and afterwards, of course, it's the slippery slope till the person does a big aveira. So says the Teferis Yisrael, the idea of Ben Azai is love mitzvos, do mitzvos with zrizos, do mitzvos with simcha, train yourself to seek every opportunity, run away from even the smallest of error, because the smallest of error is a slippery slope towards doing things that you never imagined you could do. I want to add one other comment from the Rashash. The Rashash, and again, the fancy Mishnayos, the big Mishnayos, you know, with the many commentaries, the Rashash, also printed in the back of the Gemara, has his comments on the side of the Mishnayos, and he has a beautiful little Ha'ara. The Rashash asks the following question, why does Ben Azai need to tell me, do this mitzvah because mitzvah goreres mitzvah. Because this mitzvah will give you the opportunity of the next mitzvah. Why am I running on to the next mitzvah? Why can't I just enjoy the mitzvah that I'm doing right now? Why do I have to be looking ahead? Why can't I just appreciate the inherent value of the mitzvah that I'm involved in that moment? Why is it, do this mitzvah, because then you'll be able to do another mitzvah. And when I do that mitzvah, I'll already be thinking about the next mitzvah. Why can't I just enjoy the moment? So the Rashash says that maybe Ben Azai is telling us about the importance of chasing after those mitzvos that we're not even obligated to do. Penazai is telling us to be running after a mitzvah kala means even a mitzvah that there's no obligation for you to do. For example, the mitzvah of tzitzis. A person is only obligated, me'ikar hadin, to wear tzitzis if you happen to be wearing a four-cornered garment. So a person could very easily slip away from that mitzvah. I can opt out of that mitzvah. Says Ben Azai, no, have a rutz le mitzvah kala. Choose the opportunity to do the mitzvah that you don't even have to do. Because when you seek opportunities, obviously you train yourself to do things you don't even have to do, all the more so when Hashem actually asks you to do something, you'll be well trained. And the Rashash makes reference to the Rambam in the Perash HaMishnah, who tells us that the Gemara in Maseches Makos said about Moshe Rabbeinu, that Moshe Rabbeinu was meshugana for mitzvos. He loved mitzvos. Moshe did mitzvos that didn't even make any sense. The Gemara in Makos says that Moshe set up the three Arei Mikla, the three cities of refuge, in Chutz La'aretz, knowing full well that he's never going to go into Eretz Yisrael. And Moshe also knew that the three outside of Israel didn't function until the three inside of Israel were set up. So what's the point of doing a half a mitzvah that doesn't even work? But the Gemara says about Moshe Rabbeinu, Oev kesef lo yispa kesef. A person who has a taiva for money, even though he's made a million, he wants two. When he's made two, he wants five. When he has five, he wants 10. Moshe Rabbeinu was the same way about mitzvos. Every opportunity that he could get, even a half a mitzvah that didn't even really work, Moshe Rabbeinu was running after it. Says the Rashash, that's what Ben Azai, who again himself was so in love with mitzvos, is telling us. Have a ratz la mitzvah kala. Chase after a small mitzvah. Opt in. Don't look for ways to opt out. And what a beautiful message for us to learn tonight on the Yom Tov of Pesach Sheni. Pesach Sheni is the Yom Tov in the calendar year for Jews who wanted to opt in. They were exempt. They missed the Karban Pesach. But it pained them terribly. They wanted the Karban Pesach. And they came and they said, Lama Nigara, why should we lose out? Rav Moshe Feinstein explains in the Darash Moshe, I spoke about it a number of years ago, Rav Moshe Feinstein explains that what were they asking? They knew why they were not eligible. Lama Nigara, why should we lose out? The Gemara was very clear. They understood. We were Tamei Meis. They weren't eligible. They were not in the state of purity. They couldn't bring the Karban Pesach. So what were they asking, Lama Nigara? They understood technically why they were out, but they said, why should we lose out? Hashem, make a mitzvah for us. Create a mitzvah for us. What do you mean? There's no obligation for you to do this mitzvah. You were involved in a different mitzvah. Oseik b'mitzvah, pater in a mitzvah. But they had an attitude, I don't want to opt out of mitzvahs. I want to opt in. I want to find ways to be machayiv of myself. Again, that example of tzitzis. I could go my whole life never wearing a four-cornered garment. Or I could take pride in that opportunity to chase after a mitzvah, have a rutz l'mitzvah kala, to run after a mitzvah. Because a mitzvah goreres mitzvah, because I become the type of person, again, like the Tiferes Yisrael said, who trains himself to always be doing mitzvot with simcha, with zrizos, with great excitement and great enthusiasm. I'm reminded of a story from the Klausenberger Rebbe. The Klausenberger Rebbe, after the war, had suffered terribly during World War II. I mean, the stories about him are well known. And he visited the Gauting Sanatorium in Germany, which the Americans had turned into a hospital for survivors. And the Klausenberger Rebbe was trying to get people back to a life of mitzvos. And he came to this hospital, where there were many Jews who were recovering from the war, mamish skin and bones. And he had with him four sets of tzitzis strings. And he said, I have tzitzis strings and I want to give four people the opportunity to wear tzitzis. And about 150 survivors, there were many more there, 150 survivors said to the Rebbe, we're interested. So the Rebbe said, okay, the only way that it's fair, you know, how am I going to pick four people out of 150 people? Who's going to get the tzitzis strings? So the Rebbe said, we'll make a lottery. That's the only fair way to figure it out. Who am I going to pick? Who am I going to give the opportunity? These Jews were thirsting for mitzvos. They hadn't worn tzitzis in so long. What would it be to have kosher tzitzis strings to attach to their garments? They were so excited. The Rebbe says, we'll make a lottery. We'll see who gets the tzitzis. There was this one Ger Chassid from Lodz, and he steps up to the Rebbe. His name was Mendel Pshitik. And he says, Rebbe, I definitely get one pair of tzitzis. I get one set of strings. So the Rebbe says, slow down, buddy. You know, there's a lot of people here who want tzitzis strings. Why do you deserve the strings more than anyone else here? So Mendel says in front of everyone there, he says, because I'm chayiv in tzitzis. And he grabs his shirt and he rips it into four corners. And he says, because I'm chayiv in tzitzis. I have to be given the strings. So the Klausenberger Rebbe was very nispal. He was very taken by this. And he says, Mendel, If you're L'shem Shemayim, then I guarantee that you are going to win the lottery, that you will be one of the four people to win this lottery. And needless to say, yes, the end of the story was that Mendel did win the lottery. He was one of the four winners of the lottery. Because when a person opts in, when a person says, I want to run after a mitzvah, says the Rashash, that I'm not even obligated in, HaKadosh Baruch Hu finds ways to help that person to continue to do those mitzvahs, and to continue to have those opportunities to do those mitzvahs which are so precious and so dear to that individual. Now these are all beautiful ideas, again, a window into the world of Ben Azai, an appreciation for the chashivas of mitzvahs, but this is all really just to paint a fuller picture of our Mishnah. And now I want to share with you the main idea that I want to share with you tonight. This is the lesson that I really wanted to share. I saw it over Pesach, actually on Achron Shel Pesach, the last day of Pesach. And I said, Amir Tzashem, in the Pirkei Avos Shirim, I'd like to share this with people. And I didn't know how much it would resonate. And now I understand how much it resonates, and I think it's going to resonate with each and every one of you. It's an insight from the Holy Rebbe, Rav Yitzchak of Vorki. And the reason I found it on Achron Shel Pesach, that's the yahrzeit of Rav Yitzchak of Vorki, the Talmud of Rav Simcha Bunim of Preshischa, the good friend of the first Ge'er Rebbe, the Chiddush Harim. He passed away in 1848 on Achron Shel Pesach. And Rav Yitzchak of Vorki shared the following insight on the words of Ben Azai. And it was in the context of a story. It was a Motzei Shabbos, a freezing cold, wintry Motzei Shabbos. And it was time for Kiddush Levana. And the Holy Rebbe of Vorki went outside with his Hasidim to bless the new moon. And he's standing outside on this freezing cold night, and they look up to the skies, and it's a cloudy sky. You know, some of us tried to do Kiddush Levana, I think, two Shabbosim ago. It was a cloudy night, and I'm sure we saw the clouds and went back inside. So the Rebbe's standing there, he's looking up at the sky, and he sees the clouds, and the Hasidim say, you know, Rebbe, it's cold out here, there's no Kiddush Levana, we'll try again a different night. The Rebbe says, just wait. And I have stories with the Baal Shem Tov took his finger and he moved the clouds, and so Vorki said, let's just wait a minute, let's wait a little. All right, 5 minutes go by, they're standing there, the Rebbe's looking, they're looking, and the clouds aren't moving, you know. We've all had those, like, Kiddush Levanas where the clouds almost there and we're like davening, like, you know, like, a little bit more. Okay, good. Now the moon is in perfect view. It was a cloudy night. There was no moon. And the moon wasn't coming out. And the Hasidim were freezing. And the Rebbe of Vorki says, patient. Just wait a little. The Hasidim are shivering. It's freezing cold. There were plenty of other nights to do Kiddush Levana. And the Hasidim are getting all anxious. Rebbe, let's go inside. Just wait. And the Rebbe saw the Hasidim were getting really, really agitated. So the Rebbe says, can I tell you a vart? They were standing here anyways, might as well tell you a vart. And the Rebbe of Yitzchak of Vorki, Holy Rebbe of Vorki, Zecher Tzadik Kadosh Levracha, says to them, Ben Azai says in Pirkei on the fourth parak, Mitzvah Goreres Mitzvah. And he said to them, like this, Mitzvah Goreres, a mitzvah was Schleft Zich Mitzvah. Mitzvah goreres. What does the word gorer mean? It means to mitzvah goreres. One mitzvah sort of drags along another mitzvah. That one mitzvah leads to the next mitzvah. That's what the word gorer means. Gorer means dragging. But the Rebbe of the word mitzvah goreres, a mitzvah that drags, a schleppy mitzvah, is also a mitzvah goreres, a mitzvah that schleps, is also a mitzvah. And maybe more than that, maybe it's not also a mitzvah, maybe that's the ultimate mitzvah. The Rebbe said, you came out here expecting to chop a quick Kiddush Levana and to go back inside. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has you waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. But that mitzvah which is goreres, a dragging mitzvah, a mitzvah was shlefzich mitzvah, is oicha mitzvah, is also a mitzvah. And all of your waiting and all of your patience and all of your wondering, is the moon actually ever going to come out again, right, is also part of the mitzvah. However, these last 8 weeks, is it 8 weeks, 9 weeks, what are we up to? I don't know, I lost track. Svir, I'm still in, but this I'm totally out. It's been a schleppy couple of months, and we're waiting, and we're just like wondering, like, okay, when are these restrictions going to lift, and when are these restrictions going to lift? But it's a mitzvah that we're involved in. It's a schleppy mitzvah. Yeah, being in quarantine is a schleppy mitzvah. Not going to shul for 2 months sometimes feels like a schleppy mitzvah. Not being able to get together with friends. Not being able to dance by a chasana. It's a schleppy feeling. But a mitzvah goreres, a mitzvah was schleftzich, a mitzvah that schleps is also a mitzvah. And we have to remember that we're involved in a very chashuv mitzvah. We're involved in the mitzvah pikuach nefesh right now. And we have to remind ourselves, as many Rabbanim are saying, we're not necessarily opening up as quickly as the rest of the world, because pikuach nefesh is the highest value. And when it comes to Jewish life, and it comes to life in general, we're gonna hold life as the highest value. And therefore, yes, it's been a long 8 or 9 weeks, whatever it's been. But we have to realize that every bit of it is also part of the mitzvah. And to take pride in that. And to continue to run after such a mitzvah, even though we feel so stuck involved in such a mitzvah. It's a good time. It's actually an amazing time for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to send us this lesson. I was thinking about how precisely timed this whole experience has been. Because we find ourselves now, as we're forced to slow down quite a bit, we find ourselves now involved in also, on a communal level, on a spiritual level, on a religious level, on a calendar level, we find ourselves involved in a very long mitzvah. Let me ask you a question. What's the longest mitzvah that we do in the calendar year? What's the longest mitzvah? What's the longest experience? So you could say, Rosh Hashanah, it's 2 days, but it's really 1 day. It's a Yom Ha'arichta. Okay, it's a good vart. What else could you say? You could say, like the Vilna Gaon said about Sukkos, that Sukkos is really, the Simcha of Sukkos is the hardest mitzvah in the world. You know why it's such a hard mitzvah? Oh, Isaac Held, very good. Why is it such a hard mitzvah? Because v'hayisa ach sameach, to be besimcha for a full week straight without taking a break in the simcha, to be in a constant state of simcha, v'hayisa ach sameach for all of Sukkos, that's a long mitzvah. Vilna Gaon said that's one of the hardest mitzvahs in the whole Torah. But my friends, we're in the middle of a mitzvah called Sfiras HaOmer. And Sfiras HaOmer is also a really long mitzvah. There's a lot to think about when we talk about Sfiras HaOmer. There's a lot to say in Halacha and in Lamdas. I want to think about it from a machshava perspective for a minute. Sfiras HaOmer, is it one long mitzvah, or is it 49 separate mitzvahs? And again, in Halacha, we know it's sort of both, right? For our purposes, the answer is yes, it really is a little bit of both. On the one hand, every single night we make a bracha, that implies that it's 49 mitzvahs. On the other hand, there's some continuity to it, Sheva Shabbosos Tamimos, that if I miss even once, if I miss one night and I don't make it up during the day, the way the halacha explains, based on the shitas of the Rishonim, then I'm out, then I'm no longer part of Sfiras HaOmer. So there is a continuity to the experience. So is it one long mitzvah, or is it 49 smaller mitzvahs? And the answer is yes and yes, it's a little bit of both. But I think that's what the Rebbe of Vorki is saying. Sometimes, you know, you just want to get to that finish line already, and you want to be able to just arrive, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, listen, this is a mitzvah that it's going to be a little schleppy, it's a long process, it's 49 days, and there has to be, to me most, there has to be a continuity to it, but I want you to know that each night counts also. I want you to know that a mitzvah goreres, that a mitzvah that schleps, is also a mitzvah. And where do we end up at the end of these 7 weeks? After showing that commitment, night after night after night, to remember to count, and to remember to count, and to remember to count, we show up through that commitment, through working through these 7 weeks, this one long mitzvah, which is 49 maybe parts. Again, in Lamdas, they talk like that. They explain like that. This one long mitzvah that has these 49 components brings us to the top of Har Sinai. Makes us worthy of once again being Mekabel the Torah. So we're in the middle of running this marathon, and we don't know exactly when this marathon's going to end. But that's the avoda. The avoda is we have worked so hard these last weeks. It's been emotionally draining. It's been spiritually draining. We've suffered physical losses and financial losses. It's a lot. It's really a lot for people to go through. And again, to run a marathon, imagine training for a marathon and not knowing exactly how long it's going to be. How many miles do I train for? Is it a half marathon? It's a full marathon? It's a double marathon? I have no idea when this marathon is going to end. But the avoda is that even as it seems schleppy, and even as it seems to drag on, we have to remember that it's a mitzvah goreres. It's a draggy mitzvah, but it's still a mitzvah. And our job is to make sure that we continue to push ahead, to finish the mitzvah, to finish the job all the way through to the end. There's a very interesting Gemara in Meseches Yoma. It's on Daf Ayin Beis Amud Beis. The Gemara says, on the Pasuk in Parshas Truma, Mibayis u'michutz titzapenu, that the Aron that houses the Luchos should be coated in gold, mibayis umichutz titzapenu. It should be gold inside and out. Amar Rava, says Rava in the Gemara in Yoma, kol talmid chacham she'ein tocho kabaro, eino talmid chacham. From the fact that the aron is gold on the inside, and gold on the outside, so too, a talmid chacham, a true talmid chacham, has to be a person who's tocho kabaro, who's gold inside and out, he's the real deal through and through. If you want to be a serious Jew, you have to be not just gold on the outside, pretend to be a religious person publicly, but not really practice what you preach in private, right? And not to be a person who privately lives a certain way, but publicly, when he travels, he allows himself to take certain spiritual liberties. A Talmud Chacham is a consistent person. He's gold on the inside, he's gold on the outside. Mibayis u'michutz titzapenu. A Talmud Chacham who's not tocho kibaro, who's not true in his connection to Hashem inside and out, is not a real Talmud Chacham. Beautiful Maimer Chazal. Be a sincere person through and through. Be dedicated, be committed through and through. What's the problem with this Maimer Chazal? A very simple problem. If you go back to the Rashi in Parshas Truma on that Pasuk, Rashi tells us that the Aron actually was made up of three boxes. Shlosha Aronos Asa Bitzalel, says Rashi. Bitzalel crafted three Aronos, three boxes, a larger outer box, a medium-sized box, and a small box. Shtayim Shel Zahav Ve'echad Shel Eitz. Two were made out of gold, and one was made out of wood. In other words, you had gold on the inside, the innermost box. You had gold on the outside, the outermost box. But the middle box was actually made out of wood. So it's a bit ironic, don't you think, that Chazal would pick this picture of the Aron as the paradigm of Tocho Kabaro, of being consistent all the way through. The Talmud Chacham has to be like the Aron, through and through. But the Aron itself is not through and through. The Aron is gold, and then wood, and then gold. It's a fascinating question. And the question was asked by Rav Avram Yitzchak Bloch, Hashem should avenge his blood. He died in the Holocaust, the great Rav from Telz in his Shi'urei Hadas, and he quotes it in the name of his father, Yehuda Leib Bloch, the great Rav from Telz, the great Rosh Yeshiva of the Telz Yeshiva. He said such an insightful Vart. What's the idea of gold, wood, and gold? So many people, I was learning earlier this week with a group of high school girls who I teach at Nala High School for Girls, and I actually brought up this Gemara with them. I was talking to them about this Gemara, and I asked them, I said, you know, girls, did any of you ever have like an invention? Did you ever like think of like a really cool product that you could make? Right? So this one girl says, yeah, when I was a little kid, I thought of a great idea. So I said, what is it? Right? I said, don't worry, I'll try not to steal your idea and make a lot of money off of it. So now I'm going to share it with all of you. And if any of you make a lot of money off of it, just make sure that Leora Nissel gets a cut, because it was her invention. So here's what she said. She said, I had this idea, you know, like when you're making eggs and you have a frying pan. So she said, it's very annoying to take out oil or to take out Pam and to spray the pan. Wouldn't it be awesome if you had a frying pan? Maybe they have this, right? I didn't have a chance to look into it. Maybe you could make a frying pan where you like fill the handle of the frying pan with oil, and then you just squeeze the handle while you're cooking, and that adds oil to the pan. Is that such a thing? Does anyone have that? Does that exist? Okay. I thought it was a brilliant idea. So I said, Leora, why didn't you create such a thing yet? Why haven't you made such a thing? I said to her, where would you start? What would you do? You have to get a prototype, and you have to get a patent, and you have to actually have someone to make it. And it's going to cost, you know, many thousands of dollars up front just to even create the possibility of it, let alone to actually market it and to produce it. And maybe it'll be the greatest product ever. Maybe it'll be a flop, right? So why do most people not chase after their wild ideas? People have such creative ideas. What happens? I have this golden idea. I have this amazing idea. Something I'm going to create. Or in the spiritual realm, something I'm going to do. I'm going to finish Shas, Gevaldik. What a great idea. It's a golden idea. Hashem loves that idea. And I can picture my Siyam when I finish Shas. I'm going to make a golden Siyam. It's going to be a beautiful Siyam. I'm going to invite my family and my family to encounter, so to speak, that wooden box in between the gold. Most people, that original shine, that original anticipation, that hopefulness, that creativity, it wears off. It's hard to carry it through. So my idea is gold on the inside, and I know if I can get to the finish line, it's going to be gold. But a lot of people, when they encounter sort of that plain middle section, the regular wood, the day in and day out, that doesn't shine as brightly as the original idea or the thought of once my idea is really successful, a lot of people drop out along the way. Says the Gemara in Maseches Yoma, a Talmud Chacham is like the Aron. He's gold on the inside and he's gold on the outside. And you know what's so awesome about the Talmud Chacham? Says the Telz of Rosh Yeshiva. He didn't give up when he encountered that wood along the way. He had that difficult middle stretch where it just seemed like, you know, maybe this is never going to happen. Maybe this was a stupid investment. Maybe this was a terrible idea. Maybe I'm never actually going to be able to change that promise I made to myself on Yom Kippur, and I pictured myself on this Yom Kippur, and I imagine what I'd look like next Yom Kippur. But somewhere along the way, in one of those months in the middle of the winter, maybe I fell apart, maybe I dropped out. A Talmid Chacham is the person who has the courage and the strength and that commitment, that resolve, and that focus to be able to keep going and to keep going and to keep going. To understand that a mitzvah goreres, that even a mitzvah that drags, don't worry, that's part of the process. That may be the most essential part of the process. That's going to separate the people who make it from the people who don't. I remember about 9 years ago, I saw an article about Irv Gordon. Anyone know who Irv Gordon is? Irv Gordon from East Patchogue, New York. Irv Gordon owned a 1966 Volvo P1800. Now, I don't know much about cars, but people who know about cars say that that's a pretty chashuv car. He bought it in 1966 for $4,150. Irv was a teacher, and that was about a year's salary at the time. And Irv set a record driving his Volvo around the world. The Volvo from 1966. He has the world record, the Guinness Book of World Records, for driving a car for the most miles. His Volvo, when I first read this article, was approaching 3 million miles. Now, needless to say, he'd replaced a couple parts here and there over the years. But it was that same car that he bought for $4,150 in 1966. In 1987, he hit 1 million miles. In 2002, he reached 2 million miles. And when I read the article, he was hoping in September 2013, in Alaska to hit 3 million miles. I quoted this in a shiur about 7 years ago in Camp Hask. And I remembered it today. It popped into my head, this story. I was thinking about it. Talk about a person who's schlepping all over the place. And I went online to see whatever happened to Irv Gordon. Unfortunately, Irv passed away in November 2018. And his car had a total of 3,250,257 miles on it. And I remember when I first read this article, I thought, this is sort of the story of Klal Yisrael, you know? The car that just keeps schlepping along. The car that just keeps pushing. We're in our longest stretch, and I'm not just talking about coronavirus, I'm not talking about the last 8 weeks, I'm talking about 2,000 years of Galus. I'm talking about a really long time since we had a Beis HaMikdash, a really long time since we knew what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan was, right? But we keep chugging along, and we keep chugging along. And a person like Irv, who had such a pride for his car, who loved his car, took care of his car, and believed in his car, that it could always go weiter and can keep pushing and keep pushing. I said, that's Klal Yisrael. We're this awesome car that just can't be stopped. And therefore, yes, every one of us can be like that Talmud Chacham. It's not only for unique Talmidei Chachamim. But every one of us can be Tohu Kabaro. Every one of us can be like Ben Azai. Maybe we're not always as energetic like Ben Azai, as we learned tonight, who is literally jumping four amos in a single leap to perform a mitzvah. But every one of us can be, like Ben Azai said, a mitzvah goreres, a person who schleps along. That's also a mitzvah. Hashem is very proud of a person who continues to push through in a marathon that we don't know exactly when it's going to end. I'll just leave you with the story of Rav Shlomo Freifeld. Rav Shlomo Freifeld, when he was a young man, he was driving in his beat-up yeshiva shikar, and he got stranded in Crown Heights. His car broke down in the middle of a one-lane highway, and they couldn't get it going. And the traffic was just backing up for blocks and blocks and blocks. And it was like, people were not happy with him. So Shlomo Freifeld says to his friend, he says, get out and start pushing, you know, maybe we can get it going. So his friend's pushing the car and they're trying to get it rolling. And Rav Freifeld's trying to get the thing started and he's pushing down on the pedal. And finally, all of a sudden, the car spurts up a little bit and the engine kicks on and it starts to go. And Freifeld says to his friend, hop back in, let's go, we gotta go. So he says, where are we going? He's like, we said we're going to Williamsburg. He said, Rav Shlomo, your car just died. You know, you're going to break down again. Just get out of the road. He says, died? My car didn't die. It just fainted. My car just fainted. Rav Shlomo Freifeld, it was so true to who he was as a person. He looked at Jews who were so worn out and he said, there's no such thing as a dead Jew. There's no Jew who's not going to make it to the finish line. Yeah, sometimes we collapse a little bit along the way. But if you're a person of perspective, you're a person who understands that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a master plan, and if we understand that Sfiras HaOmer gets us to the top of Har Sinai, step by step by step, even though it seems on one level it's just this one long mitzvah. But we have to remember, like Ben Azai taught us, mitzvah goreres mitzvah. Sometimes a person travels. I remember I once heard a person stepped off an airplane and he overheard a little child say to his mother, Mom, we're back at the airport? I thought we just took a flight. He didn't understand that even though he started at one airport, took a flight to another airport, and he walks out and he says, we're back where we started, we're back in the airport. It's a child's perspective. You're not back where you started. You've traveled quite a way. We've all traveled, even though we've hardly moved about at all during these days. We've traveled quite a bit. And we have to remember that, again, every step that we've taken is meaningful in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's our tefillah that Amir Tzashem, not only will we put an end to this long and schleppy journey, which every step has been a mitzvah, but Amir Tzashem, we should be zocha, not only to see the end of the pandemic, but to take those final steps towards the Geula Shlema, we should be zocha to see it very, very soon. I wish everyone an amazing Shabbos, and thank you so much for tuning in to Learn With Me.